Serving the Tears for 75 years. News Talk 1230 and 1450 WENY Elmira, WENI Corning.
Welcome to Law Talk on News Talk 1230 and 1450 WENY. Email your questions to lawyer at BetsJatomer.com. Now, here's your host, Susan Betz-Jatomer.
Good morning, everyone, and we are privileged this morning to have Dr. Richard Bitter, who makes his living as a constitutional law scholar and does not make a living at all being a part of Divide New York, but he is. And we are here to talk about the Constitutional Convention pros and cons. And I just want to mention that the League of Women Voters and the New York State Bar Association are both in favor of the Constitutional Convention. And you'll have an opportunity to vote on this November. It will be on the back of your ballot. And Dr. Bitter, there are a lot of people in civil rights organizations who are really, really against this, almost like it's Armageddon. We're going to lose our due process rights and all kinds of things. So I'd like you to explain a little bit first what a constitutional convention is and then why we should have one. Go ahead.
What a constitutional convention is, and this is a state constitutional convention, not to be confused with a federal constitutional convention, which is addressed in the New York State Constitution. In New York, we have no system for recall or referendum. In other words, the only petitioning that we can do to our government is through direct election or to write letters and phone calls to our various representatives, state legislators and state senators, which, as most of us know, is generally a pointless effort. In other states, such as California, some of you may recall years ago, they had Proposition 10, which involved taxes, involved a huge repeal. It was put forth by the voters, not as voters, but as a citizenry, and then was placed on the ballot. Essentially, that's what the New York State Constitutional Convention will do. The convention would occur in 2018. However, we're voting for it this November in three or four short weeks. This will be the first convention, normal convention, that we've had since 1937. There was a convention 50 years ago, but if you'll notice, that wasn't in the 20-year cycle. That convention was brought about by the existing state legislators and senators back then because it was the only way that they could ensure that they would be the delegates to the convention.
Okay, so I just want to stop you right there because you mentioned a 20-year cycle, and many people may not know it's in the New York State Constitution to decide whether or not to have a convention every 20 years. So go ahead.
Well, every 20 years, we have that ability to vote on it. That's our only opportunity to, as citizens, directly seek redress from our government. So a person who is running for elected office, Senate or legislature, cannot be a delegate to the Constitution. And that's the primary reason why they don't want it. Because in a 20-year cycle falls on their reelection, the majority of them. And that's why they had a special convention 50 years ago. It was off cycle because it wasn't an election year and they could be the delegates.
So I think I have a good understanding of what it is and how it works. So tell me why you think we should go ahead and do that this time.
Well, as Susan mentioned, first, I also represent Divide New York. And frankly, I also am a retained counsel with the State of Jefferson Movement in California, which seeks to do the same thing. The difference is in New York, Divide New York does not want to divide New York into two separate or three separate states because that would require federal congressional approval. Never going to happen. Upstate New York, if it was divided off from Westchester County down, would be one of the three most conservative states in the United States. So we would have two more senators who would be Republican or conservative or libertarian, but likely not Democrat. So it's never going to happen. It's in no vested interest of the powers that be in Washington to give us another state. So what Divide New York is seeking to do is divide New York into two separate administrative districts. For federal purposes, we would be the state of New York. For state purposes, we would be New York, which would be from roughly Westchester County down, and New Amsterdam, which would be the rest of the state. Each state would have its own laws, its own elected officials. We would keep essentially the same state Senate and legislative districts, but They would come together as the state of New York when the federal business required it, but otherwise they would work separately and govern with administrators in each district, similar to what the governor is now, and we would have a governor for federal purposes, which would reduce Mr. Cuomo to a ceremonial, position.
Oh, he's going to love that.
Never mind.
So the reason why you're in favor of it is that it would give the opportunity for the New York State Constitution to be amended to allow this. I mean, that's in sum and substance. But what about everybody else who may or may not care about this? I mean, if someone's downstate, why should they agree to separate into districts? Why else should they decide to go ahead and vote for this?
Well, there's several reasons. You know, upstate, I'm sure we've all heard a lot of people tell us that our tax dollars support the city.
Right.
Ludicrous. Richest city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are burdened is regulations that have no bearing on our lives up here burden us with financial burdens. But the contrary is true. Financially, the monies come from the city up here.
Then why would we want to do that if we're going to get less money?
Well, theoretically, we would get less money if we kept all the same regulations and burdens. Okay, but we don't need many of the regulations, as I said, have no bearing on life in upstate New York.
Give me an example.
Well, the SAFE Act.
Okay.
The SAFE Act has placed onerous burdens on the New York State Police. They tried to place a burden on the FBI's NICS system, and it's placing burdens on store owners, ammunition suppliers, everybody else. The SAFE Act is ludicrous. The SAFE Act does nothing to prevent crime because, frankly, those of us who are concealed carry permit holders and legal gun owners, we're not the people out doing the crime. You know, they know the guns that we have. They know where we are. We're responsible citizens.
Well, there are exceptions to that, but generally speaking, I agree with your argument.
Very, very rare, actually, percentage-wise, in the single digits.
Mm-hmm.
And numerous other things. You know, waste treatment. Do you know that a large area of the Catskills,
mm-hmm.
if you want a building permit, the agency that you apply to is a New York City agency.
I did not know that.
Because the watershed for the city of New York is the Catskills. Therefore, the state has given New York City building code jurisdiction over much of the Catskills.
And I remember that in the hydrofracking, that they were telling us that there was nothing wrong with hydrofracking and we should all just shut up and go away, but you couldn't do it in the New York City watershed.
Because New York City controls a large area of upstate New York. And, you know, it's actually things like the hydrofracking, irrespective of anybody's individual opinion on it, we weren't asked.
Right.
Nobody is hydrofracking in Brooklyn.
So I want to give you some pushback on some of the issues. One of the issues that I've heard from civil rights organizations is, you know, we don't need to do this because the legislature can amend the Constitution and it has done so numerous times. So we don't need a constitutional convention to amend the New York State Constitution because the legislature can do that at will. What do you say to that?
Theoretically, that's correct. However, we are arguably the most corrupt state in the union. The leaders in state government of both parties have been convicted of federal crimes involving the use of their office. These people, like most other politicians these days, are the vested interests. They have nobody's interests at heart except their own.
So drain the swamp in New York is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not a phrase that I typically use, but this is our only way to get what we want done. We cannot count on our legislators and senators, irrespective of their party affiliation.
Okay, so we're here with Dr. Richard Bitter, constitutional law scholar, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you have law questions? Email now, lawyer@betzjatomer.com. That's lawyer@betzjatomer.com. Now back to Law Talk.
And we're here on Law Talk with Dr. Richard Bitter and talking about the Constitutional Convention vote, which is coming up this November on the back of your ballot. Now, Dr. Bitter, I have heard from certain civil rights and union organizations that if we have a constitutional convention, pensions for state, county, and city employees are at risk, that the conventioners can sort of go and take that away. So first of all, I want to talk about, if something is decided at the convention, does that become our constitution? How does that work?
Absolutely not. Any propositions that are ratified at the Constitutional Convention would then be placed on the ballot.
So we would get a chance to vote on it one way or another.
The entire state would get a chance to vote on it. And I'd like to point out that, by the way, the pro-Constitutional Convention people, I'm talking in round numbers here, have spent roughly $300,000 promoting their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. The anti-Constitutional Convention people are approaching $30 million.
Wow, that tells you something. So are the pensions, like my husband is a tier one retired pensioner from the New York State retirement system. And, you know, frankly, that's a good deal for us. I don't want to lose that. Are we at risk?
Actually, you can't lose it. There's a little thing in the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, called the Contracts Clause, which specifically bars states from abrogating or in any way altering existing contracts. So that's a non sequitur. It can't happen.
Okay. The other thing that I've heard, because in New York State Constitution, the right of union workers to negotiate contracts is sanctioned and enshrined, and that if there's a constitutional convention, this could go away too. What do you say about that?
I say that the rights of children to go to grade school is also a part of our legal system, and it's as much at risk as that. It's an absurdity. It's a non-issue. First of all, there's nothing like that being proposed by anybody on either side. So it's a complete non-issue. But let's say that in some strange world, a referendum was passed or an initiative was passed at the convention to say, you know, unions will no longer have the right to directly negotiate. It still has to be approved by the voters. But there's nothing to approve or disapprove, because we might as well be saying, you know, if the Constitutional Convention will be changing the color of the Hudson River.
Right. So it's not going to happen. Another thing, though, that may be more directly affected that I've heard concerns about is that it's also enshrined in the New York State Constitution that New York State will take care of the needy. And it doesn't say needy citizens, and it doesn't say deserving poor. It says the needy. So if you're needy and you're in New York, this is an explanation for why we have the most generous or among the most generous welfare benefits in the nation, is that our Constitution requires the needy be taken care of. And some people think that's a great thing, and we should do more of that. And some people think that's a terrible thing because people take advantage of it. So is that at risk?
Well, charity is always a wonderful thing. However, when it's compelled through taxation, it's no longer charity. It becomes theft. Is that at risk in the way you phrased it? It could be. Is it at risk for the people who are directly benefited by it? In other words, Westchester County and South? No, because that's what they do. And if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But to compel the people in Oriskany, New York, to take in X, Y, and Z people from all over the world who have no interest in our nation, our system of government, our beliefs, our customs and tradition, other than to come here and reap the benefits, if they want to deny it to them, that should be their business, not somebody who lives in Bensonhurst.
Well, we have a pretty good healthcare system in New York, so I want to give you a little more pushback here. Very generous benefits under the Affordable Care Act. And as you know, Richard, the Affordable Care Act, parts of it that are adopted and how they do it is done by the state. So a lot of people that have health care under the Affordable Health Care Act in New York State, which is still the law of the land, and will be until and unless it's repealed at the congressional level, and they don't seem to be able to get their act together one way or another. So could that be removed? Is that at risk?
No, because that's federal law. And it supersedes all state action. It's what they call preemptory. It preempts state action to abrogate. The states have no power. The states can add to it, but they cannot decrease it.
So I guess one of the things I'm asking is that New York State gives more generous benefits than the federal government requires. So that would be, along with other social safety net programs, that would in theory be at risk, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So the other argument that I've heard is that this is going to cost a lot of money. Delegates get paid. And a venue has to be found. And gosh, since we don't need it because the legislature can amend the Constitution anyway, why are we spending all this money?
Well, with the anti-spending, you know, $30 million plus, and it's not done yet, the question becomes an absurdity. We also have a state building in Albany that's an absurdity. It's called the Egg.
Well, let me stop you there for a second, because calling an absurdity isn't an answer to the question.
Good.
Okay, $300 million haven't been spent by the taxpayers of the state. The money for the Constitutional Convention is going to be spent by the taxpayers. Why should taxpayers spend that money?
To get the state house in order. To clean up the corruption in the state of New York.
And how's the Constitutional Convention going to do that? I mean, give me a specific.
Well, it's going to afford the two halves of the state, or the two, well, they're not halves. Frankly, if I had a little segue here, 80% plus of the population of the state of New York lives in 15% of the land area, okay? Now, what that means is, with power and wealth concentrated in a small area, and with representatives being selected based on population only. Why we're a bicameral state, I have no understanding of, because the legislature and the Senate are both elected by numbers of people that they represent, not by areas like the federal government. So what happens is, where 100 years ago, my state legislator may have represented 10,000 people, today he represents 500,000 people. My vote, mm-hmm. when in relation to the city, is not diluted, it's non-existent.
And explain that.
Because I haven't lost 50% of my vote. If I was a conservative living in the Bronx, mm-hmm. my vote would mean nothing. My vote would have absolutely no effect on any election whatsoever.
Right. So isn't it better that you're up here and then it counts?
It is. But then what happens, and move it up a level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I've got X number of legislators from up here.
Right.
From the entire upstate of New York, who there are as many legislators in the five boroughs and Suffolk County. So what happens is, our legislators, their vote becomes nothing. My vote is an absolute nullity, even though I live in a conservative majority district. My vote is generally still a nullity, except in the Senate, where we, you know, the conservatives have a slight majority. And that's also a big fear, is that with that majority and the Senate having the power in this convention, liberals would lose their power.
So, I mean, and that's your goal, is that not that liberals lose their power entirely, but that they get to continue running things in Westchester, New York City, and Long Island, how those people down there choose, and that people upstate get to run things the way we choose.
Exactly. We get to govern ourselves instead of being governed by somebody who, you know, who can say things like, well, I know all about guns because I fired a shotgun once.
And with that, we're going to come back after these messages.
We'll be right back with Law Talk on News Talk 1230 and 1450 on the AM dial, 106.9 on the FM dial.
Now back to Law Talk with Susan Betz-Jatomer on News Talk 1230 and 1450, WENY.
Now, Rich, I just want to get back to asking you the question about the cost. Why should we spend the money?
Well, first of all, it'll be worth it. In the long term, the savings to both downstate and upstate are going to be substantial, because we're no longer going to be living lives that don't relate to us. Downstate will no longer have to pour to upstate, and upstate will no longer have to bear the onerous burdens of laws and regulations that have no bearing on our existence.
Right, like a lot of the state mandates that the unfunded mandates, we call them.
The unfunded mandates.
Okay, so how does this work, Dr. Bitter? When you put together the delegates, I mean, who gets to be a delegate, and couldn't downstate just hijack the whole process and defeat the purpose of it?
Well, that's another issue that the antis are putting out there, because they will actually not have a majority at the, if the delegates were picked consistent with the current Senate structure, downstate would not have the majority. Delegates are elected 3% at district, with an additional 15 at large. Currently, there are 63 New York State Senate districts. 34 or 35 of them lean to the right. So the majority of them are already leaning conservative, and that's why Cuomo, Speaker Carl Hastie, and Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan are opposed to the convention, because it directly threatens their power.
So we upstate people would be well represented, because it would be by geography, not by population.
Exactly.
Oh.
And we would stand to have a majority of the delegates at the convention, and frankly, I don't believe that the citizenry of upstate New York really cares what happens in New York City. It's amazing to me that the majority of people...
And vice versa.
No, I know. No, but you know, the majority of people up here haven't even been to this city. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a wonderful city. If you have to go to a city, it's a great one to go to. It mm-hmm. really is. But I don't want to have to live the life of what somebody who lives in Midtown Manhattan or off of Central Park or in Queens or wherever thinks that I have to live. I mean, little things. I mean, you can argue the environmental issues of it, but I'm still annoyed that I can't have a burn barrel.
Yeah, and one of the things that bothers me, too, is they keep trying to raise the driving age to 18 with a complete lack of understanding about how that would impact young people's participation in sports, for example, here. You know, we don't have buses to everything. Our schools are not, like, right next door or within walking distance everywhere. Kids sometimes have to drive 20, 30, 40, 50 miles to participate in sporting activities, inter-school sports, and they just don't get it. And every few years, they try to raise the age, and it's just, that's terrible. That would be devastating for us.
Yeah, often. It's not uncommon for Corning High School, either one, or is there only one now? Mm-hmm. There's only one now. To have to travel to Binghamton or Johnson City or, you know, numerous other places, Hornell, wherever. Not walking distance, not even hitchhiking distance.
Right, and they keep trying to make these rules that affect us. So Divide New York sounds like a way to get around that without having to go through the problem, really, of getting this through Congress. So I think that's a great idea. How long have you been working on this, Dr. Bitter?
I've been with Divide New York for about 2 years. John Bergener and others have been doing it for several years now. And the big focus is on the convention because that's the easiest, most direct route for us to be able to do this.
So how does somebody get in touch with Divide New York if they want to help you?
Aha, we have a website, and it's called www.newamsterdamny.org.
www.newamsterdam.org?
newamsterdamny.org.
Okay, newamsterdamny.org if you want to get involved in Divide New York.
Or on Facebook, it's Divide New York is our website.
Okay, that sounds like a good way to get in touch. So let's jump back to the Constitutional Convention and the pros of it, because that's the position you're taking here today. And I want to talk a little bit about why the New York State Bar Association is favoring it, and that is the Byzantine rules and regulations which are enshrined in our Constitution for the court system here in New York. So as I mentioned earlier, we have 11 different trial courts. If you want to sue the state, you have to sue in a special court. We have local courts where all criminal charges start out. There's no requirement that local court judges be attorneys or even know much about the law. The training is really very insufficient. And then felonies go on to county courts. And then we have at the county level, we have county courts, Supreme Court, surrogates court, all covering different things. Whereas in most states, they have one or at most two trial level courts. And it's not as complicated and ridiculous as it is here in New York. Are your people even thinking about that sort of thing?
I'm sure that we are. I'm not directly thinking about it. We're more concerned with getting the convention through right now. But yes, they're considered, you know, I've spoken with people all over the state about every aspect of state governance and all three branches of the government. I mean, even down to who would the state police be?
Because one of the problems is that, you know, there are three branches of government, as you mentioned, but the New York State Judiciary only gets 2-3% of the funding. So anyone who's ever tried to sue someone in court, been divorced or anything else, knows just how horrific it is and how many years and years things can drag on. Not because that's necessary, but because we don't have the judges in the courtrooms to get you back into court any sooner than we do.
And the judges in this state, frankly, are treated like second-class citizens. I remember 20 years ago, they were 10 years in arrears of a mandatory pay raise. And now there's another pay raise that's supposed to take effect any time now. And none of the judges know what it's going to be because the law says that they'll be raised to a certain level. And I'm not sure the exact verbiage, but consistent with somebody else's pay. But they have no idea if that meant their pay then or now or sometime in the future. And it's so ambiguous.
So that's going to be taken care of. And the League of Women Voters, I'm not sure why they're supporting it. I know that they are talking about streamlining state government, that again, just like the federal government, there are so many agencies. And I know my experience with the New York State Division of Human Rights, it is completely useless. And you have to go through them before you can sue in court. And unlike court, you can't bring more than one case. So if there's a discrimination case, you can't say, here, look, these three people were discriminated against by this firm. And that pattern shows, you know, this government entity or this firm. And that that's a pattern and it shows discrimination. You can only bring it one at a time. And when you bring them one at a time, there's always an excuse why something can happen. So that's, you know, we can throw that agency out right now. Not that we shouldn't have human rights, but it, the way it is, it's not helping anything. So what about other state agencies and streamlining? Have you guys talked about that?
Absolutely. And all state agencies would fall under the rubric of New York and New Amsterdam, so that then our government, consistent with the needs, the wants, and desires of the people of upstate New York, of very rural upstate New York, would have the opportunity then to vote as a people. We would have our own constitution, so aside from the states.
We're here with Dr. Bitter, and Dr. Bitter is in favor of the New York State Constitutional Convention for the reasons that you heard. And join us next week on Law Talk, and we will be talking about this more as we get closer to the election day in November. So have a good day, everyone.
This has been Law Talk on News Talk 1230 and 1450 on the AM dial, 106.9 on the FM dial.